Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life.
Welcome back to the show, guys. And do we have a treat for you today? We are joined by Brad Yates, who is an EFT expert, which is emotional freedom technique. And in other words, tapping, if you guys have never heard of it. And oh my gosh, it was the most interesting conversation, or one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had the honor to join.
This is definitely one of my favorite episodes. It was super practical. Oh my God. And just you wait until you probably get about 30 minutes in, 25 minutes in, and we start to talk about manifesting and how EFT tapping is literally like a fast track to unblocking you to manifest what it is that you want. And we talk about why that is, like why it works. So you might have things that you've been trying to manifest, things on your vision board that you're like, what the hell is going on? These still aren't here. Brad explains like why that's happening and how tapping can unblock you so you can become like a super attractor, a super manifester. I'm absolutely buzzing to go manifest everything after this. I feel like, I just feel like I've just been given like a golden key to unlocking a new level. I'm so excited. So that's what you're about to experience, obviously, in the conversation. And very kindly, Brad leads us through a EFT tapping for manifestation. So later on in the episode, you will get to experience tapping yourself, specifically tailored towards unblocking what you want to manifest. What more could you want?
Exactly. It's so good. Like, your life is literally about to change forever with all the information in this episode. Like, it's amazing. So get ready to soak it all in.
Yes. But before we get into the episode, we've just got a quick word from the podcast sponsor, the people that make these incredible conversations that we bring to you possible. And that is BetterHelp. And BetterHelp are a professional, secure online counseling service. And they will set you up with a therapist in just 2 days of you signing up for an account with them.
Yeah, so BetterHelp's mission is to help you start living a happier life from today. So whatever you feel like you need the help and support for, they will find the right therapist for you. So you go on their website, fill in a questionnaire, and you get matched with a therapist within 2 days, as Grace said. And then once you're matched with your therapist, you can get going, get the help that you need. And even if it turns out that you think, actually, I want a different therapist, I want to change, you can change for free until you're happy, which is a really incredible benefit.
So BetterHelp is a global company. They have clients all over the world. So wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, BetterHelp services are available for you. As we said, it's all done online from the comfort of your own home. You will be seen by a licensed counselor and you can just relax at home and get therapy, which is amazing. They're also all done through their website or their app, and however you want to work, they will work around you. So if you want to do video calls like Skypes, you can do that. If you want to just do audio calls, that's fine. Or if you're not comfortable with a phone call and you'd rather just type it because you find it hard to open up, that's absolutely fine as well. And they'll just do messages with you and you can do therapy through that. So however you want to work, they will work around you because they want you to be the happiest, best version of you. So if you want to take your mental health to the new level and start your therapy journey and get the help that you know you need and are worthy of, then we have a 10% discount code for you for BetterHelp's therapy. You will get 10% off your entire first month of therapy with them. So that's 4 sessions, 1 a week, plus you will always get to chat to your therapist during the week as well. You can just send them messages asking questions. You know, if something comes up and your session isn't for another few days and you think, God, I need really to ask them this, like I'm really not sure here what to do or why I'm feeling like this, you just fire them off a message and they'll get back to you so quickly, which is something that not a lot of, you don't get that usually with therapy. You aren't allowed to talk to your therapist apart from when you're in the session. So that's a great benefit as well. But if you want to start your therapy journey with BetterHelp and you want to access this discount, then head to the link betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. We've left the link in the show notes. Just click through there and the discount's automatically applied to your account and you can start your therapy journey.
Yeah, and just remind yourself that if you do need the help, then you are so worthy of receiving it, because therapy is really life-changing stuff. We both used it in the past various times and we noticed the shifts massively. So if you are feeling called to do that and you're struggling with, am I even worth doing this? Just remind yourself that you're always worthy of feeling better and feeling good.
Yeah, you deserve to feel good and deserve to live the life of your dreams, and therapy is part of the process of that. But that's enough from us. Let's get into the conversation with Brad.
Okay, so I'd just like to start by introducing Brad onto the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on. We are huge fans of your work and we're really excited to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
If you could just start by please telling us a little bit about what it is that you do within EFT, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably might not have even heard of it, and about your journey to where you are now. I think you have a really interesting journey of how you got into that line of work and how it kind of like changed your life.
Yeah. So I use this process called Emotional Freedom Techniques, also known as EFT, or a lot of us just call it tapping because we quite literally tap with our fingertips on our face and torso. And for anyone who's listening to this, that this is new to, I know it sounds strange. You're like, what? What were Grace and Abby thinking? Why are they bringing this person on? There's a really good reason why we do this tapping process. It's basically, at its most basic, you can think of it as a stress relief technique. And it's this process of downregulating the stress that we experience. And it's based on acupuncture. So for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's this flow of energy through the body along pathways called meridians. And when this energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being, physically and emotionally. And when this energy feels blocked, we don't feel very good. We don't think as clearly, and that has unfortunate consequences for our lives. So in traditional acupuncture, the doctor would stick needles in these key points, and we are just tapping with our fingertips to trigger those points and get the energy flowing better. We also have a growing body of scientific research validating that this process works and that it does lower stress. We have chemical studies showing that the stress hormone cortisol is dramatically lowered in the groups doing the tapping. We have fMRI studies showing the changes in brain activity and downregulation of stress. So even though a lot of us have just known, yeah, I can feel it, it works better. For those of you who say, it looks too strange, I need some research, there is a growing body of research on that.
Amazing. So how did you actually get into it? Like, I feel like there is obviously so many people doing it. Like, you've got this huge YouTube channel, but how did you actually like get into like doing tapping? How did you discover it? And
how does a grown man find himself tapping on his face for a living? I started out as an actor, and I had traveled the world doing theater. I studied acting in London, and I then eventually decided it's time to go to Hollywood and be a movie star, as one does. And while I was there, I met a woman, fell in love, and got married. And when our first child was on the way, I thought, you know, I should probably have a backup career. So I had always been fascinated in the power of the mind and saw an opportunity to train to become a hypnotherapist. And I thought, hey, that would be really cool. Not exactly the most steady 9-to-5 supporting job at the outset, but it was something else to do. And I started doing that. And over the next couple of years, I was building a small practice while at the same time pursuing my acting career. And then after a couple of years, when our second child was on the way, I realized that as much as I loved acting, doing personal development work was really my calling. This is what really felt the most fulfilling for me and the best use of my talents. So we left Los Angeles, moved to Northern California, and through some other hypnotherapists, I heard about this energy psychology conference going on in Las Vegas, and people were doing this tapping thing called EFT. And it's like, all right, I'm game. Let's you know, I know that for a lot of people, the first time they see the tapping, it looks a little strange. Now, in my course of as an actor, I had gone to Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Clown College. So tapping on my face was not the strangest thing I'd ever had to do. So I was a little more open than a lot of people might be, and just found it a fascinating process, especially when Gary Craig, who's the founder of EFT, was teaching the class, and he gave everyone pieces of chocolate and said, all right, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much would you like this chocolate? And I was a bit of a chocoholic at the time, and I'm thinking 8, 9. And we just did a few minutes of tapping, and I could not eat the chocolate. The cravings, any cravings were gone. And in fact, I didn't eat chocolate for 2 years after that. I recovered, so don't even worry. But but it was just profound. It's like, wow, how did that happen. So I started learning how to do this and continuing my hypnotherapy practice. I would started ending the sessions with a little bit of tapping. To little by little, they became tapping sessions with a little bit of hypnosis at the end. And then YouTube came along. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if there was a tapping video that people could start their day with? And I'll call it Tap of the Morning. And that's all I intended to do, is that one video. It's like, okay, I got a video up online now. That's it. And then 6 months later, I thought, I should have a video for people to end their day. And I'll call it Tap of the Evening. And then I'm done. And then another idea came, and then another idea, and here it is. I've got over 1,000 videos now.
Yeah, I love your videos. And like, because I've just recently been introduced to EFT and discovered you, and I've like been meditating for years, and like it's something that I do, you know, pretty much every day. And recently, like when I've had like a day when I was feeling quite anxious, a bit overwhelmed, and I've gone like on a walk, and then I did a little workout, and then I meditate. I'm like, I still actually don't feel like the anxiety's gone that much. And I was like, right, let's stick on a tap with Brad. Like I did like the one for overwhelm. Like I always go back and do that, and the like anxiety one. And I did that, and it was just like click, instant, and the anxiety just went, and I just could carry on with my day. And I was like, that took 9 minutes. Everything else, yeah, it was really nice to go for a walk, and it was great to meditate, and still those things are useful and they do work. But I couldn't believe the drastic shift. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of people that have never done it before will find so like wow, the amazed by is when they first do it, is that big shift, especially when you come to it like with a bit of heavy energy, like anxiety, how much it can clear that. But what is actually going on? I know you briefly mentioned like there's a lot of scientific studies backing it up, and you're clearing your energies, and it's related to acupuncture and stuff. But what is actually going on? Like, how was tapping on all the different parts of my face and like my chest and like under my armpit? How was that? And obviously chanting the mantras that you say, how did that make me go from feeling probably like a 7 out of 10 anxiety to like a 2 out of 10 in 9 minutes?
Right. And as you said, there are so many great things we can do to downregulate stress in our lives, like meditating, going for walks, eating a healthier diet, getting a good night's sleep. But in the moment where we experience stress, unless you've been meditating for decades and are really a master at it, to be able to just go into that zone and calm yourself down is very challenging. You can't go back and get a better night's sleep last night. You oftentimes can't just go take a walk, and you can't eat a better meal earlier in the day. And tapping is something you can do right then and there, and use that somatic experience of using the body. So many of us are just up in our heads, and we don't recognize how important our body is. So the tapping allows us to use our body. Now, the exact mechanism, we're still discovering that. There are a lot of theories. You know, the original idea of it being acupuncture and the energy flow through the meridians, and that tapping on these points. And these points can be discovered. You can take a galvanometer and find that the points that are used, that were identified in Chinese medicine thousands of years ago, actually have lower electrical resistance. And so they are different than other parts of the body. And by stimulating those points, it sends a calming message to the brain. So the amygdala in the limbic part of our brain, which is there to perceive threats and then tells us, oh, we're in danger, going to fight or flight. This expedites the calming process, in which we are able to see, no, actually, we're not in danger right now. It's okay for everything to calm down. We can, again, lower the cortisol in our bodies. We're looking at how it works with the polyvagal system. So this vagus nerve that runs from the brainstem down through the body and connects to different organs and is involved in the regulation of emotions, and how this tapping process changes that. So the exact, and it may be all of these things together. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that it is one of the quickest and simplest ways to reduce stress without, you know, taking some kind of tranquilizing drug. Mm. And it's just that simple. You can start doing it right away without any, and we use different wording to identify what's coming up for us and trying to focus on where a particular issue might be and what's stopping us. But the tapping process by itself, even silently, will start that calming process. And we can sometimes dramatically and quickly see a reduction in stress.
That's so interesting. I love hearing like the brain science behind something. And then I feel like you just have to try it once even to see the results. Like I tried just one video quite a while ago and it was literally 5 minutes. And then I messaged you and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what is this? I was like, I had like thoughts coming up that I didn't even know like I believed. And I was like, oh my God, I actually think this. Like it's so powerful. So thank you for explaining that. So if someone's listening now and they're like, oh my God, this sounds so interesting. I need this. I need to get involved. How would you recommend someone starts it as like never even tried it? Would you recommend they like sit down and think what they want to work on, like create their own mantras? Or is it something that you think they should like work on and repeat? I know you have so many amazing videos. They're actually really addictive, I think.
Yeah,
like recently, I keep getting like, whenever I'm a little bit bored, I'm like, maybe I'll just do
don't
a tap.
Don't say that. I don't want to feel like I'm supporting addictions. That's
it's a healthier addiction
than some others.
No, it's a very enjoyable addiction. And it also changes your life in a really great way. So it's a great addiction, guys. But yeah, well, how would you recommend somebody starts on their own tapping journey?
Well, and that's part of the reason I make the videos is to make it simple to start. So that may be the easiest way is to just, you know, and I have a lot of colleagues who have also put out great tapping videos. And so to just watch a video and just follow along with whoever the practitioner is in the video and just repeat back what we say, that's the easiest way to get started. Because a lot of people, they get stuck thinking, I don't know what to say, especially because the way a lot of us do it, it's a very intuitive process and we say all kinds of different things. You know, I like to explore what might be behind the issue. If someone's feeling stress, if they're feeling sadness, or if they're stopping themselves from being more successful, if they're stopping themselves from having more money. And through the tapping process, I just really like to explore what might be going on in there. I wonder if I have this belief about this and all this. So someone who's new to it might watch that and go, wow, EFT is really complicated. You have to come up with this script and all these words, and I don't know how to do that. And that's really not necessary. You can do it silently. Even the basic version of EFT, you just come up with whatever is bothering you at the moment. Like, I feel really stressed right now. Or maybe a physical thing, like I feel this tightness in my neck right now. Or I'm really angry at Bob right now. And we identify that and say, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much is that bothering me? Oh, let's say it's about an 8. What is the physical symptom of that? Oh, this anger. I feel this tension in my shoulders. And then we would start tapping and say, even though I have this anger at Bob, or even though I feel this tightness, whatever it might be. And then as we tap through all the different points, we just repeat that. This tightness, or this anger. So it doesn't have to be complicated at all. But because a lot of folks feel stuck on that, that's why I started making the videos. Like, hey, let me make it easy for you. And then as you go through, and if other words come to mind, change the words. It's not like this is the exact right script for everybody. This is just to get the ball rolling and get you started so you can start to feel some benefits. And then you might start to find, oh, okay, what I really need to talk about is this. Great. Go with that and allow it to get easy. But that may take some time before folks feel the confidence to start exploring it. So yeah, just start off by watching some videos. And as I said, plenty of colleagues out there with tapping videos, and different people have different styles, just like different musicians. We may, you know, really love one musician and not so much another musician, even though other people are a big fan of that person. So you can go and try different videos and see, okay, this is the style that I really resonate with.
So a lot of our listeners are very much into like routines and like routines that they can do daily that support their well-being. So, you know, I was saying before, like meditation, that's something that we do daily. And like a lot of our listeners are very interested in it, you know, like going out for little walks, like working out, eating nutritious food, all those things that you do every day. Obviously eating food and moving your body and like sleeping is like essential. You have to do that, or, you know, things aren't going to work out well for you at all. But like in terms of meditation, You don't have to do that, but it's beneficial. And do you see like tapping in the same like category as like meditation in that sense? Like, is it beneficial for people to be doing it daily as a daily practice? Or do you think, you know, a few times a week, or is there like an optimal amount, or what do you think?
So I absolutely think it should, well, I don't want to say should, I don't want to should on anybody. I highly recommend it as a daily practice because to me, it's energy hygiene. We have physical hygiene, like taking a shower and brushing your teeth. So the question is, how often should you brush your teeth? Well, for most of us, it's at least a couple of times a day. We, you know, taking a shower, we do it before we need it. We do it when we need it. You know, if we've had a hard workout and we're sweating, we don't go, well, I showered this morning, so I'm not going to shower now. It's like, you take another shower. So you may do it more than once, but we also don't wait until it's obvious that we need it. You know, we don't go out in public and go, oh, everyone around me is holding their nose. That's right. I haven't taken a shower in 2 weeks. Maybe I should do that now. We do it as part of, as a routine, as maintenance. And to me, having that kind of energy hygiene on a daily basis is so helpful because most of us are walking around with more stress than we realize. You know, we're more aware of, again, we usually take a shower before it's obvious that we need it, but most of us don't have any kind of cleaning process for stress. Although we are most of us are walking around with this small device that is constantly giving us more to stress about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, our phone is saying, hey, did you hear about this? Here's something to be upset about. And we take that on and we don't have any way of cleaning out. Imagine walking along and constantly having people throw mud on you and you never think to clean it off. Mm. And that's how we're going about with all this stress. And there's usually some ambient level of stress that most of us are experiencing and not even aware of. But that affects our ability to function. It affects our choices and stops us from making the best choices, taking the best actions to create the kind of life we really want. So yes, please and thank you, make tapping part of your daily routine. And if you need, and if you want to do it more than once, you know, it's not just a one time during the day, but if things come up, don't go, oh, well, I've got some stress right now, but I tapped in my morning routine, so I can't tap now. There's no, you know, again, like taking a shower. What's the optimal amount? Well, really nice to do it at least once a day, and then again, as necessary.
That's very interesting. I'll definitely always keep that in my mind now.
Energy hygiene. Yeah,
like I need to do my energy hygiene. I think that's really useful. And just while we're on the topic of like routines, do you have like a set routine that you do every day or anything? Because obviously you've been in this field for such a long time, you know a lot about EFT and the benefits and everything. But I was wondering, like, do you have a routine? Do you like meditate every day or anything like that?
I do. I have my morning routine. First, I do a little bit of tapping first thing when I get up. And again, so tapping can help to make things better. It's not a matter of, oh, wow, Brad must be in a bad mood every time he gets up and has to tap on, oh, even though I woke up on the wrong side of the, not at all. I can be in a really good place, but I just tap. And sometimes I'll just say affirmations or prayers or things like that. Sometimes I'll just tap silently just to be as open to the day as possible. It's like, if there's anything inside me that's going to be resistance, I want to be clearing that stuff out so I can be at my best. So that's the first thing I do. But then I have some stretching exercises. I do a little bit of meditation, some journaling, and some visualizations that I do. So I have a set morning routine to get me started in the best way possible.
Nice. I always love hearing other people's routines.
Yeah, it's so interesting hear what other people do.
I wanted to ask this question. I feel like this is... I don't know if it's quite technical, but I was kind of just kind of sat there the other day and I was like really thinking about it. So, you know, you were saying that like obviously people use EFT for different reasons. And the way I was kind of viewing it in my head was that some people may use it when they're kind of living in survival mode, like say if they're like chronically depressed and they want to release emotion, they may use EFT. And then also I've noticed you have a lot of videos that maybe like people that want more money or more success and they want to like unblock themselves, maybe like career-wise. Is it a similar process like within the brain and within the tapping which is happening, or is it something that's quite different that's happening when someone is almost like trying to physically feel better within themselves as opposed to like unblocking unhelpful beliefs?
Yeah. As I was saying, EFT at its basis is a stress relief technique. So when you consider that most, if not all, of the issues that trouble us are either caused by or worsened by stress, then you can see why tapping is so beneficial in so many areas. So if we are in an emotionally uncomfortable place, we're feeling overwhelmed, we're feeling depressed about something, there's usually some level of fear and stress underneath that. And so by tapping, we're calming that stress response down and able to look at what might be behind that uncomfortable feeling. And so we're able to feel some relief. We're able to see things that we couldn't see before. As you were saying, you noticed some beliefs that you didn't realize you had. There's so much in there that's constantly going on that we're just not aware of, but it's controlling us. And so as we're calming ourselves down, we start to get more awareness. It's often like peeling layers of the onion, and we see things that we didn't allow ourselves to see because it didn't feel safe. So there's this level of safety, and most, if not all, of the uncomfortable emotions that we feel are around not feeling safe. There's something that's scaring us. There's some fear there. So the tapping calms that down. But then if you look at, okay, well, I'm not feeling depressed, I'm not feeling overwhelmed, I just want to have more money and it's not showing up. The extent to which we don't have what we say we want tends to be the extent to which we're resisting it. And we tend to resist things because there's fear. And you can ask anybody, most people will say, oh, I'd love to have more money. It's like, well, why are you afraid of having more money? They're like, what? You're crazy. I'm not afraid of having more money. Are you doing everything you possibly could to be in a better financial place? Are you earning all that you could? Are you saving what you could? Are you managing your money well? Well, no, not all the time. Why not? You're obviously resisting having greater abundance. And so with all of those things, there's a stress level. We may think, okay, if I had more money, and again, these are these beliefs that we're not aware of, I'm afraid that money is the root of all evil. I'm afraid that people will be jealous and hate me if I have more money. There's all these different things, so that as I'm going throughout my day and I'm making all of these tiny little choices, most of them being made unconsciously, I'm doing consequence management in my mind. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, if I make this choice, what will be the consequences? If I call that person about that job opportunity, what are the possible consequences? Well, I might get that job and I would be making more money and my friends will be jealous. Oh, I think I'll conveniently forget to make that phone call. We're not aware of it at a conscious level, but we're trying to protect ourselves. We're managing those consequences because there's a stress response when we think about having that more money. You know, oh, I'll have more money. My friends will be jealous. That's uncomfortable. That feels painful. Don't do that. Now, if we have a better way of dealing with that stress and calming that down and going, will my friends really be jealous? And if they're jealous, does that have to be painful for me? Or can that be an opportunity to say, well, if I'm holding myself back, then they're probably holding themselves back. And if I can let go of the need to do so, I can help them let go of that. And we can all have more abundance and live a better life. So it's actually beneficial. We start to be able to see things differently than we had allowed ourselves to see before. So whatever the issue might be, there's some level of stress that's keeping us stuck. And so it's the same basic process of, okay, I'm tapping away whatever stressful thoughts are keeping me in this place, whether it's an uncomfortable emotion or financial lack or a health issue or keeping myself blocked in relationships, whatever it might be. There's some part of me that's afraid of change, and I'm clearing that fear.
Mm. You know, these beliefs that hold us back, like most people have to go to therapy and stuff like that to really uncover them. And we speak a lot about on our show and with our audience, like in the workshops, we do, like educating them on the subconscious mind and how it actually drives like the majority of your behavior in life and the choices you make and everything. And so if you've got a lot of disempowering beliefs stored back there, like chances are your reality is going to reflect that. And often identifying those beliefs can take it can take a long time and like require like a deep level of awareness and maybe the help of therapists and stuff like that. Do you think that like EFT then is a little bit like a fast track to getting into your subconscious and like getting, becoming aware of these beliefs? I obviously, you said in that 5 minute one that you did, you had thoughts coming up that you didn't even know you thought, like, you know, whereas you're actually such a self-aware person. You journal all the time, you meditate a lot, you've been to therapy, you do all the things that you try and do to become the better version of you. And obviously then you do 5 minutes of that and it starts to bring up things that maybe might take a year or a few years or a big situation to come out. Do you think then it's like a bit of a fast track then to like tapping into the subconscious?
It certainly expedites the process, because I like to say that self-sabotage is simply misguided self-love. We're trying to protect ourselves. So all of the disempowering beliefs we have, we hold on to them believing that they're keeping us safe. So to go back to the issue of money, if I have this fear that money is the root of all evil and rich people are bad, and I don't want to be a bad person, then I am going to limit my wealth. And I'm not going to just tell myself, oh, no, it's that was a misunderstanding about money is the root of all evil. That's not actually the quote. Oh, okay, now I'm going to go and make more money because I have this belief that it's not safe. So I'm not going to let myself know. You know, it's like there's these, if I have this object that I think is keeping me safe and I have it in a vault and I have a guard in front of that vault, because if I ever lose that object, I'll be in danger. Then that guard isn't going to say, oh yes, it's right here. Let me open the door and you can take it out and lose it. That guard is going to be standing there. And if I happen to be walking down that hall, it's going to say, there's nothing to see here. Keep going. Because that's how I keep myself safe, by not knowing that that's there. Because I'm afraid that there will be danger, and that's stress. So as I'm tapping and I'm calming myself down, I start to recognize, oh, I'm actually safe without that. I don't need that. So I'm now allowing myself to see things that I might not have allowed myself to see. Something that might have taken me years of therapy and building up trust with the therapist and allowing myself to, you know, use some of the tools that the therapist might be giving me. And it's like, okay, now I feel safer looking in that vault and seeing what that object is, as opposed to being able to tap through the stress and calm the fear down and go, oh yeah, I can start looking at that. I can go into the attic and start opening those boxes that part of me has said, there's no boxes up there. There's no attic. You have no attic. Just you're fine. You're doing great. So that's where it gives us that freedom. And again, peeling the layers of the onion and seeing those things that we hadn't allowed ourselves to see. And yeah, it's not that we're bad or stupid. We want to, you know, have compassion for ourselves. That's the whole idea behind self-sabotage being misguided self-love, because we so often beat ourselves up for that. Oh, I'm so stupid for not being healthier. I'm so stupid for not going on that interview. I'm so stupid for whatever this is, for not making more money. And recognizing, no, I'm brilliantly protecting myself from something that I have been convinced is not safe for me. And I'm allowing myself now to calm myself down and look at it and go, is that true? Oh, you know what? Money is the root of all evil is not the actual quote, and it's not true. And it's safer for me to allow myself greater abundance or greater health or a loving relationship or whatever else it might be.
It sounds like EFT and like this, how it works with your subconscious mind, is a great tool to help you manifest. And I'm interested to see what you think about manifesting, if you're into it, if you believe in it. I know that you went on, hey, I can't remember her surname now. What's she called? Hayley? Her conversation is called like the Big Conversations Podcast.
Yeah, Hayley Hoffman.
Yeah, that's it. Her name completely went out there. I heard you on there. And I really like her. Like, obviously, she shares so much content about manifesting and about unblocking beliefs and stuff. So, yeah, I'm curious, you know, Do you believe in manifesting? What are your thoughts? Like, our audience, like, love it. We are very into it and think it's super powerful. But it just sounds from everything you're saying that EFT is like the perfect tool to add into your like manifesting sort of practice and rituals, because the biggest thing with manifesting is believing you're worthy of what it is that you want, so that you stop blocking it from coming into your reality.
No, manifestation, that's a load of no. Absolutely. I did a program with Dr. Joe Vitale, who was in the movie The Secret years ago. A program called Money Beyond Belief. And we were both coming at manifestation, law of attraction, from the same place, because the teaching was think about what you want, feel really good about it, and then let go. And we were both saying, yeah, except that you're not able to feel really good about it if you have conflicting thoughts about it. You know, so they're saying, you know, if you want a lot of money, if you want to be a millionaire, think about $1 million, feel really good about that $1 million, put it on your vision board and feel really good about it, and then you're going to bring it to you. Except that if I have a belief that money is the root of all evil, I may be looking at my vision board, I'm trying to feel really good about it, and unconsciously I think I am just rocking it. Oh, I'm in such a high vibe. Unconsciously, I am saying, yeah, you get excited, but we're going to make sure it doesn't happen. So this is a very powerful tool in terms of manifestation, because we can clear out that stuff that lowers our vibration about what we want. Mm. And again, the extent to which we don't have what we say we want tends to be the extent to which we're resisting it. And we resist it because we feel it's wrong or dangerous or something like that. I don't deserve it. It's not possible for me, whatever that is. So when we, you know, for whatever our manifestation process is, we're trying to visualize, we're trying to get into that high vibration. We may tell ourselves that we've got that, but that other part of us is saying, make sure it never happens. I had someone come up to me once and say, you know, I'm trying to make this certain amount of money, and I've read all the books and I've gone to all the seminars, and it's just not happening. I said, close your eyes. Take a deep breath and hold it. And I'm, in fact, everybody go ahead and do this right now. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and think about the amount of money you'd like to have. Imagine having that. And say, it's safe for me to have this much money. And rate that on a scale of 0 to 10 as to how true it feels, how safe it feels. Take a deep breath, open your eyes. Some of you probably said a 10, check again, because you're kidding yourself. But she said, it's at a 3. And I said, brilliant. Now you know why none of these books or seminars is working for you, because you haven't unlocked why you feel it's unsafe. And if you had a small child that was invited to a birthday party, and you looked at the place where the party was, and you said, that is not a safe place. On a scale of 0 to 10, it's about a 3 out of 10 as to how safe it is for my child to go to that party. Would you let your child go to that birthday party? The answer is no. And so it's allowing ourselves to recognize, oh, wow, okay. It doesn't feel as safe as it could be. And so I'm brilliantly protecting myself. So in that process of manifesting, I am manifesting safety over what I consciously say I want. We're 100% successful right now. It's just a question of what we're successful at. You are successfully manifesting the life that you believe you can handle, that you believe is right for you, that you believe is safe for you. If you say you want to have more money, but you're not having it, it's because some part of you is still not convinced that it's okay, that it's safe. And it's most likely based on misunderstandings, yours or somebody else's. And that's something that we can deal with and go, okay, I have some misunderstandings about money. I have some misunderstandings about what is possible for me. I have misunderstandings about what I'm worthy and deserving of. And as we clear that out, that high vibration and being in vibrational, being in tune with that, happens that much more easily. And so we're much more open to allowing.
Wow. I love that answer so much. Yeah. Especially like what you're saying about the subconscious mind as well, because I feel like sometimes when you speak about the subconscious mind and we're saying it is unconscious, and it can be really overwhelming and like such a minefield, like especially if people are new to it. So I think it's really empowering for you to say, actually, you can tap into your subconscious mind just from doing the tapping. I think it's just incredible. I really loved your answers there.
Yeah, it was so good. It's really practical manifesting advice. I think some people as well don't believe in it because they're like, oh, I don't get it. It's not working. No, no. Where it's like, you know, break it down. This is why it might not be working. So say
it's always working. It is. Yeah. I was doing a session with someone yesterday in Australia and talking about manifestation, you know, manifesting good things or bad things. I said, we're always manifesting everything that we think, oh, well, I've manifested if it's a good thing. And it's, but not if it's something that's uncomfortable. It's like, no, we're always manifesting. We're always drawing to us that thing that we think is right or what's familiar. Mm. You know, even if it's crap, I'm used to this. I dealt with this crap yesterday. I know how to deal with it. And so part of me is saying, yeah, just keep bringing on because I don't know how to deal with change, and allowing herself to recognize, oh, I could handle something different. I could handle things that are better. Yeah. But you know, 80 to 90% of our mind is the unconscious mind. So when we're putting our vision board up, that's the 10% saying, yes, this would be awesome. And the other 90% is like, you get as excited as you want, but we're going to make sure it doesn't happen because you can't handle it. It wouldn't be safe. Other people will be jealous, all this multitude of reasons. And that's why we can't get into vibrational harmony with it and draw it into our lives.
Yeah. Wow. This is making me excited to like tap more to help my manifesting. I feel like other people are listening as well. They're going to be like, oh yeah, I've got a powerful tool.
I really like how you explained there about like coming at it from a compassionate way, as in like you're always successful at manifesting. Because I think as well, and I can relate to this, I'm sure many people can, when you start manifesting, you think, oh my God, it's not working, or I'm blocking myself, have these beliefs, and you can get like frustrated at yourself. But like you said, like you're keeping yourself safe, like you're successfully manifesting safety because that's what you're valuing. But like consciously, you don't want that. So you just have to work with the subconscious to rewrite those beliefs. I think many people would have had like a penny drop moment there thinking, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm manifesting my safety, which is natural to us.
Yeah.
If you could open your brain and look at all of the neural pathways and all the experiences you've had, and you can go back to, you look at any decision that you made and say, oh, you know, I should have made that phone call. I should have shown up at that appointment. I should have done this, and then things would be so much better. Or I shouldn't have, you know, done that. If you could open your brain, look at all the neural pathways and follow all the experiences and all the programming you have and all the messages you've got. And we have all gotten a lot of messages that are not true and that are just, you know, terrible teaching, but taught by people who didn't know any better. People teach us from their fears. You know, the person who says, don't get your hopes up, was taught not to get their hopes up. And it would be, you know, you look at all the things your parents or teachers might have said that you go, oh, that really messed me up. But they believed it and they would have felt it was irresponsible to teach you something different. You know, if they felt like they weren't allowed to have money because it's bad to have money, they couldn't have said, yes, it's bad for me to have money, but you can have money and it would be okay for you to have money. They couldn't have taught that. So if you take all of those teachings and all of those experiences and follow those neural pathways and come to that moment where that decision was, you'd go, I totally see why I made that decision. At that moment, I could not have chosen something different. Mm. We're always doing the best we can based on our programming. So to think that I somehow could have been healthier, wealthier, happier than I am right now, and it's just that I made a mistake and I'm flawed, isn't true. You know, you look at other people, it's like, well, but they're happier, they're wealthier, they're this, they're that. Yeah, because they have different programming. Even a sibling, you're not next to that person 24/7, and we take things in differently. So we are not, it's not a level playing field. And we don't know what's going on for them also. We so often, you know, especially in this day and age of social media, we're looking at a curated life. And we're seeing the best of what's going on in their lives, then so we're comparing ourselves constantly and we're just being unfair with ourselves. And it's allowing ourselves to say, okay, I have been doing the best I could with what's going on in there. I am as wealthy and successful and happy and healthy as I could be with my particular set of experiences and beliefs. And when I try to change that, when I try to push those boundaries, it's like there's an electric fence around there and I get a shock. And it says, no, go back into your comfort zone. Okay. We're brilliantly successful at keeping ourselves in our comfort zone because of the fear of that, the shock from that electric fence. This is how we cut the wires on the electric fence. And that gives us freedom to do better.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that freedom before because we, you know, it's good for us to not want to go up and grab the electric fence.
Yeah.
But if we can cut the wires on that, that then gives us the freedom to allow more and better into our lives.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's so amazing about like what you teach with this is that it makes you feel so empowered to rewrite your story, rewrite your programming, and really so you can shift your reality. So I feel like there's going to be people listening to this right now that are like, wow, oh my God, this makes sense. This is why I haven't been manifesting what's on my board. This is great. I'm going to do EFT tapping and start to really clear out some of these beliefs and start to make some things happen. So say like, you know, you've said a lot about money. So money could be, it could be money that they're blocking, or it could be maybe they want a certain promotion or a job or a certain relationship or something. And they're just, it's not coming into fruition. It's been on their vision board for so long. What is your recommendations then in terms of EFT for like manifestation, like on that specific thing that they're trying to attract in that they're obviously blocking because they don't think it's safe? Should they create affirmations? Because we do a lot of like work with affirmations, like with the people in our community. Like we do personalized affirmations where they tell us what, you know, things they want to feel empowered about. We write them for them and give them to them in like a digital playlist. Like combining like that with tapping, like should you write your own sort of affirmations that are specific to make you feel safe around what you're trying to manifest and tap with that? Or like how should they, what sort of things should they be doing with tapping to really unblock the thing that they've been wanting, but it's not been coming through and like now they understand why and they want to like, okay, let's clear it out.
Yeah. And tapping with affirmations is great because so often when we're saying an affirmation, it's often a statement of something that's different than our current reality. Like, I'm a joyful millionaire. And I might say, I'm a joyful millionaire. I'm trying to get into the vibration of that. But there's a part of us, the unconscious, which is much more powerful than the conscious mind, going, you big fat liar. You are so crap. So what's the vibration in my body then? And I'm trying to say I'm a joyful millionaire, and part of and my energy is you are so full of crap. But if I'm tapping while I'm saying that, and I'm dealing with that, those uncomfortable emotions and why I couldn't or shouldn't say this, and I start to relax and go, well, yeah, you know what? Everything's energy, so I'm connected to everything. So, you know, at a quantum physical level, I'm a billionaire. I'm a trillionaire. It's like, yeah, absolutely. And I can feel joy about that and it's okay. And so we allow ourselves then the freedom to be in that. I think perhaps the best way to answer this question though, is rather than giving an answer is to actually take people through a process. What do you think?
Yeah. Start doing some tapping.
So
for anyone who's new to this, the process is simple. You take your fingertips of your index and middle finger, and well, you start by tapping on the side of your hand. So as I said earlier, you come up with whatever is blocking you or whatever the issue is, like I'm feeling stressed or I'm angry at Bob, whatever. And you would tap on the side of the hand saying, even though I have this issue, I choose to love and accept myself. And you repeat that 3 times. Now, I also often do it in a positive way. So I'll say, I choose to be a joyful millionaire and I choose to love and accept myself because whatever uncomfortable feelings I have about that are going to come up, even though I'm stating the positive. And when you first introduce EFT to folks, a lot of people say, you're talking about the problem. You're supposed to do positive thinking. Don't talk about the problem. You'll manifest the problem. No, because you're cleaning. You know, if your dog poops on your carpet, you don't sit there and go, I'm going to pretend that my carpet is clean because you're going to step in it and spread it around. You deal with it and then you clean it up and then you don't have to worry about it. So same here. We're focusing on what's there because what you resist persists. You address it and then you clean it out and then it doesn't have any hold over you anymore. So we tap on the side hand. Then the next point we're going to tap is right here at the beginning of your eyebrow point. And we state the issue on each point. The next point is the side of the eye, so right here, the corner of your eye. Next point is right under the middle of your eye, just above your cheek. Next point is right under your nose. Then just below your lower lip, just above your chin. Then we're going to tap the collarbone point. If you feel where your collarbones just about come together, there's a little bit of a U shape at the base of your throat. And you can use all of your fingertips or even make a fist and tap that area. Next point is about 4 inches below your armpit. It's right about bra strap level. And I'm sure any guys watching this can figure this out too. And then finally, top of your head. And then just tapping with all of your fingertips around little circles around the crown of your head. So those are the points that we're going to tap. So everyone close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and hold it. And let it go. And think about something that you would like to manifest, something you'd like to have in your life that is not currently here. Maybe a certain amount of money. So you might imagine looking at your online bank statement. It might be something that you want to purchase with that money. It may be having a person in your life. It may be anything that you'd like to have that you don't have. And coming from the standpoint that the extent to which we don't have what we say we want is the extent to which we're resisting it. Allow yourself to be aware of any resistance that's coming up. Imagine yourself having this thing, this amount of money, this object, this circumstance. And just following your breath through your body, allow yourself to be aware of any doubts, any fears. What might be the possible negative consequences of having this? And if part of you is saying, oh, there's no possible negative consequences, I'm going to say, check again. Feel what's going on inside your body. It may be subtle, but there's some part of you that is keeping it at bay. Allow yourself to be aware of where that resistance is. And some of you might find it like overwhelming, like, oh, wow, I totally get that. I'm terrified of having this. And I've never allowed myself to recognize that. Don't be afraid of that. It's a good thing to know what's stopping you. So allow yourself to be aware of where that resistance is. Rate it on a scale of 0 to 10 as to how intense it might be. Notice where in your body you feel it. Notice what thoughts, beliefs, or memories come up as to why you couldn't or shouldn't have this thing you say you want. Take a deep breath. Open your eyes. And just tap where I tap and repeat back what I say. Even though part of me might be resisting this, I choose to love and accept myself anyway. Even though part of me might be resisting getting this, I choose to love and honor myself anyway. Even though part of me might be resisting having this, and part of me is really resisting that idea, I don't want to believe that I'm resisting it. But if I don't acknowledge that, I'm probably never going to get it. So even though I might be resisting having what I want, I choose to deeply and completely love, honor, and accept myself. And maybe anyone else who has contributed to this resistance. All this resistance to having what I want. And part of me is saying, I have no resistance. I totally want to have this. And if someone were to look at a tape of my life and see my daily activities, would my actions prove that this is what I'm trying to manifest? Or would they see me blocking getting it? And it's not that I'm bad or stupid. It's not that I'm weak or lazy. It's just that I have old programming about why it wouldn't be safe for me to have this. Part of me says I'd be very excited having this. But a stronger part says I would be in danger having this. I am brilliantly depriving myself of having this because of this old programming telling me why I couldn't or shouldn't have it, why it wouldn't be safe. Maybe I'm afraid of how other people would feel. Better to deprive myself of what I want than to upset anybody else. That's what my programming tells me. Makes me look like the good person. It's so noble of me to sacrifice my abundance so that other people don't have to feel uncomfortable. And I choose to clear that out. My self-sacrifice isn't helping anybody. The better I allow things to get in my life, the more that benefits other people. All these reasons for resisting this abundance, all these reasons for not allowing it. Maybe I convince myself I'm not worthy of it. Maybe I know that I could manifest it, but I'm not allowed to because I don't deserve it. I choose to reconsider that. I choose to be open to the possibility that I am a magnificent child of the universe, worthy and deserving of the best this world has to offer, and that there is nothing that is too good for me. I could go out at night and look up at the stars. I get to see as many stars as Richard Branson sees. I mean, while he's still standing on the ground and not in space. As far as the universe is concerned, I'm just as deserving of this abundance as anybody else. There's even evidence right now, while I'm breathing, every time I inhale, I'm asking for oxygen. And the universe keeps saying, yes, you deserve that. And I can take a deep breath. And the universe said yes to me having more. When I took a deeper breath, the universe didn't say, oh no, that's more than you deserve. I choose to take a lot more deeper breaths. And this thing that I say that I want, it's a deeper breath than I usually take. And I can handle that. I choose to feel safe getting what I want. So I'm clearing this resistance, allowing myself to be much more open to much more good. And I choose to really love myself in the process, in body, mind, and spirit. Take a deep breath. Let it go. And with your eyes closed, go ahead and think again about this thing that you'd like to manifest and say, it's safe for me to have it. And just notice where any resistance was coming up before and rate it again on a scale of 0 to 10. And hopefully that number has come way down. Hopefully it feels a whole lot safer. And it's also possible that in the process, again, with peeling the layers of the onion, and you may have more awareness of, oh, there's why I haven't been allowing it. This is why I believe it's not safe. This is why I'm telling myself I couldn't take these actions. And so there's greater awareness there. And then you can tap more specifically on those things that come up and keep creating a greater and greater opening to allow these good things to show up in your life.
Wow.
And you can take a deep breath and open your eyes.
That was powerful.
Yeah, so good.
That was amazing. I felt like you speaking right to my soul that's been like standing in my own way of things I want to manifest. That's, I find when I like replay that so many times, do it again, again. It was great. Thank you so much.
I mean, I was just throwing out a couple of the reasons why we might block ourselves. But again, as you're tapping through it for everyone, I hope that maybe you allowed yourself to recognize, oh, there's something else that, you know, that doesn't make sense. Oh, I believe I'm worthy, but there's this thing that I remember hearing when I was 5 years old about this. And, you know, so you get more clarity about all these reasons why you might resist it.
Yeah. Powerful. Very, very, very powerful. Thank you so much for leading us through that. Like everyone's going to.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah.
And
really,
and
really
thank you to everyone who's willing to do that, because your abundance, whether it's health, wealth, happiness, love, whatever it might be, your abundance benefits others. Mm. It doesn't hurt other people. I mean, assuming you're not, you know, making your money doing something illegal or unethical and harming people, your abundance benefits other people. So what happens when we block our abundance in any area, in order to keep ourselves limited, we also hold back our gifts and talents. Because if we fully share our gifts and talents, we're more likely going to allow more of the good that part of this is convinced we shouldn't have. So as you clear that resistance to having more, you also clear your resistance to giving more. So please and thank you.
Wow, amazing. Love that so much. Maybe just to end this incredible interview, what would be your best piece of advice just in life? As obviously you're so interesting.
Yeah, wise.
Some years back, it occurred to me that my real job is teaching people to love themselves. Mm. So really, of all the things that you're going to allow yourself to do, allow yourself to love yourself more. Because we have so much programming about why we couldn't or shouldn't. And it's misunderstandings. And if you say, oh, but I've done these terrible things. Well, it's not, you're not defined by your behavior or your circumstances, but your behavior and circumstances are created by how you've been defining yourself. And as you allow yourself to see that you're worthy and deserving of love, you're going to behave in much better ways. You'll be much more loving towards other people. And, you know, we just have, and when we really love someone, we want to give them the best of things. So as you allow yourself to recognize, I'm worthy of love, oh, I'm also worthy of all these other good things that by having them benefit other people as well. And we're able to then show other people how lovable they are. And we're able to see it more ourselves. So it's a total win-win situation. So thanks for doing that.
Amazing.
Self-love. So where can everybody find you, Brad? They're going to want to like unfollow you and join your world and find your YouTube and do videos. So how can people work with you? You were saying before this that you were just teaching a workshop before you came on the interview with us. So, you know, what are some things maybe people can do one-on-one tapping with you? How can they do that?
Yeah. So the easiest way is to go to my website, tapwithbrad.com. And it's also Tap with Brad on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, at my website, you'll find all kinds of resources. You'll find links to my videos, but also links to courses that I do, private sessions, group tapping, and hopefully again soon, more live workshops.
Yeah.
I've been coming doing workshops in England every 2 years for over a decade, and this is the first odd numbered year that I haven't been back in the UK. And it's having to do some tapping on that, but I intend to be back soon.
Oh my God. Well, when you're back, we will be there. Where do you do them in London? Is that where you normally do them?
I've always done them in London, but, and I've done workshops also in Edinburgh and Dublin and Cork. And,
oh, wow.
But I intend to, Manchester's on my list. So,
yeah. I mean, we'd come to London anyway to do it. It'd be great.
It'd be amazing.
Wow. Yeah. We'll link out all your website and your YouTube channel, and everything in the show notes so that everyone can easily get involved. But thank you so much, Brad, for sharing all your wisdom and for like taking us through the tapping practice as well. This has been such an incredible episode. And I think everyone really enjoyed it because I've absolutely loved it.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for what you're doing. And thanks for this opportunity to share this work. And thank you to everyone who's, you know, willing to take a chance on a strange looking process to allow things to get better for yourself.
Wow, that was so amazing. Wow, I just love Brad. What a guy. Such a pleasure to talk to as well. He's got such like a calming energy and he's just great. But if you didn't get to do the tapping because maybe you're out for a walk or you're driving while you're listening to this, and that's probably wise that you didn't close your eyes and start tapping, or you want to do it. Or if you did do it and you want to, you know, repeat it and have easy access to it, we've actually clipped the tapping part of the episode where Brad leads us through the tapping for manifestation, and we've put it on our YouTube channel so you can follow along on there really easy. You can watch it as many times as you want, always come back to it. So we've left the link to that in our show notes. Our channel name is just Find Your Feet Podcast, but like I said, I've linked it in the show notes. You can just go through there and subscribe to us and you will get access to the tapping video.
Yeah, and guys, if you enjoyed this episode, if you had like any of those penny drop moments that we certainly did, come and let us know, share it on your Instagram, share it with your friends, or even leave us an Apple Podcast review because that really helps the growth of our podcast.
And if you want to get involved with Brad, we've also linked everywhere to find him in the show notes. But thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait to see you again next Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye.